What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
Saturday nights are always a complete waste with me, Josh Hadley, and with the McMullfister, Charlie McMullen, the Fister.
Mm-hmm.
That's it?
Yeah, that's all you're getting for now. I'm pacing myself, sir.
Okay. And Kat is busy again this week, so we got one of our previous whipping boys, Alex Majowski.
It's just Jowski.
I know, but Majowski makes you seem a little more ethereal, doesn't it?
Okay, Mahadley.
Quiet, you. We got a bunch of stuff to get into. Let's get into this week's...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Alex, you sent me this. Explain the Juggalo coin to us, if you don't mind.
It's like Bitcoin, that they've made their own currency that they're going to be using.
Yeah, Charlie, the Juggalos have their own currency now. Now, here's the thing. Remember a couple of weeks ago, many weeks ago, where we talked about how Bitcoin got hacked and millions upon millions of dollars went mysteriously missing?
Yeah, if your aim is to turn me around on Bitcoin, associating it with Juggalos is not going to do that.
Also, the fact that, and I'm being serious here, first of all, I can't find any evidence that this is satire. So I keep thinking this is satire, but everything I'm finding is that this is real.
No, well, they have their official site and everything, juggalocoin.org.
I know. It's run by a guy named Papa Nut.
Of course it is.
And his address is One Clown Lane.
Would you trust your money with a man named Papa Nut?
You know what?
Considering the only picture on the website is naked women with clowns painted on their boobies.
Yeah. If it was Papa Nut, like that would have sort of a fatherly patriarch kind of feel to it. Like Papa Nut, like Papa, what do we do? Papa would know. But if it's
That's how it's spelled. It's
P-A-Nut. Oh, is that how it's spelled?
It's like Papa Smurf, only...
Well, then he might do okay. No, I'm kidding. This is the most hilarious train wreck that there could be. I'm happy about this story.
And it's going to get worse. They don't want non-Juggalos to be buying the Juggalo coins. Quoting, non-Juggalos are welcome to buy Juggalo coin, they just won't get it for free.
That means there has to be Juggalo, like, confirmation ceremonies and documentation of being a certified Juggalo.
Yeah, because what's to stop me from putting on some insane clown makeup, going to one of their terrible shows, getting a couple $100 free Juggalo money, and then turning it into real money for me?
Well, I am here to stop you from doing that, Jowski.
This is going to get weirder. Just hold on. So, Papa Nut, it's not a trustworthy name for me as a financial investment. I'm sorry.
But Papa Nut?
Papa Nut, he promotes the currency as, quote, keeping funds in the family, promoting the positive aspects of the Juggalo lifestyle, supporting Juggalo charities, and promoting recognition of February 17th as International Juggalo Day, unquote.
Okay, you know what? I will say this. I am about to defend Juggalos just a little bit.
Oh, good God.
I've never been a Juggalo. I can't stand the Insane Clown Posse. I can't stand anything about them. But as a community, they actually do, like, charitable events and stuff like that. And I've not heard of anything bad for society being perpetrated by the Juggalos. Bad taste. Absolutely.
Well, actually, you know that the FBI recently, as 2013 being recent, classified Juggalo as a street gang, a legal street gang, the same with Crips and Bloods. That's not positive.
What about Hell's Angels?
Oh, no one gives a crap about the Hell's Angels anymore.
Right.
That's passé.
I think the Juggalos are this generation's Hell's Angels. I mean, they're horrifying to, like, 20% of the people, laughable by...
80%.
Well, 70%, and then, you know, the 10% people that otherwise wouldn't belong anywhere get something to focus them away from the rest of us, I guess.
I keep hoping this is satire. This has been out for over a week, and so far this has not come out as some sort of elaborate punk on the internet.
Well, if they are the modern-day Hell's Angels, perhaps this generation's Hunter S. Thompson should spend some time with them and write a book, and then we'll all know what's really going on here.
To shift away from that, have either of you guys seen the trailer yet for The Principal? It is a documentary, in the biggest quotes I can give it, about how the Earth is the center of the universe because Earth is where God lives, and the sun and all of the planets revolve around the Earth. Have you guys seen this trailer yet?
Yes, no, I've seen the trailer. When the story broke, like, a week ago, I watched the trailer. I'm like, well, these people are stupid, but whatever.
I have not seen this trailer. So this is a...
this is a real thing.
Okay.
Now, the trailer is narrated by Kate Mulgrew. You know, Captain Janeway.
There you go.
And it also has noted scientists of real science, Lawrence Krauss, and I'm going to butcher his name, Mikio Kaku, have no idea how they wound up in this. All three people are like, whoa, 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 I am not a geocentrist. I don't know how I wound up in this goddamn thing. They're all distancing themselves from this because, for one thing, Bob Sungenis, the guy who his website is GalileoWasWrong.com, he is also a Holocaust denier and blames the Jews for all of the problems in the world.
Oh, he does he?
Yes.
This is just... Okay, how did he... Was it just audio editing?
Well,
like, how did he add the voiceover from these people without them knowing?
Oh, no. The Krauss and Kaku stuff are all on cams. What he did is he lied to them. He lied to Lawrence Krauss, who signed the agreement and cashed the paycheck. But he lied to Lawrence Krauss and then took all of the quotes that he used for his own benefit out of context. For Kaku, he literally just bought old footage from a footage clearinghouse and used what he wanted, what made it sound like was backing his side. Now, the Kate Mulgrew thing, she claims she had no clue what she was reading and that what they must have done is given her a wide script and then only took out the parts that they wanted for this thing. Now, Sungenis is saying bullshit. Every single one of these people knew exactly what it was. We explained it to them. We didn't lie to anybody.
I think Sungenis is wrong because every documentarian takes people out of context all the time to prove their point. And as far as Kate Mulgrew being the narrator, a lot of documentaries have more than one narrator. They could have given her the incidental stuff while somebody else is narrating the Earth is the center of the universe madness.
Actually, at the beginning of the trailer...
Everything we think we know about our universe is wrong.
There is a crisis in cosmology.
This is the moment of truth.
All these things are rather strange, and we don't know why they're occurring right now.
We are in a special place. I do believe that the universe was created by God.
It's an exciting time for cosmology because everything has changed.
If our Earth really turns out to be special, then I would say God made a mistake.
The universe is going to eventually run out of energy and all life will die. The future looks very bleak.
It's a strange time in cosmology because we don't understand nothing.
Whole universes could come from nothing.
Whoa, what is going on here?
It turns out nothing is almost everything.
Dark energy, as we call it, is the greatest mystery in all of creation.
Science has said you must stay over in this category here and you cannot go into the God category because that's going to destroy our science.
We have to ask Mother Nature, how do you work?
There's a shelf full of Nobel Prizes for the physicists who can unlock the secrets of dark matter.
You can go on some websites of NASA and see that they've started to take down stuff that might hint to a geocentric universe.
We may be very special, but that doesn't mean the universe was created just for us.
This idea that we're not in any special place in the universe, there's something wrong with that.
So they set up a satellite and they find out these temperature disturbances throughout the universe were all pointing to the Earth.
When I see how barren the other planets are and how bountiful the Earth is, something's different and we're in just the right spot.
We seem to find ourselves in a part of the universe that is perfectly tuned for life.
Life is extremely rare, and that we are in fact the only life in our entire universe. Now I actually think we're very significant.
The Earth is a very special place, no two ways about it.
Well, every documentary is going to start with that. That's going to grab you.
Not many documentaries start with the sun's going around us.
So what do you think? Who do you believe more, Sungenis or the so-called victims in this who are becoming very public and I had nothing to do with this, stop associating me with this, or do you think they're just trying to cover after all of the bad, bad publicity? Because keep in mind, all three of these people were paid, they all got their checks, and they all signed releases.
I think it depends 100% on how much the paycheck was for.
Obviously, we don't know that. They're not going to give us those stats.
I think that's the deciding factor, though.
I'm going to take the side of the so-called victims here, Kate Mulgrew and them, because I'm really not going to trust a guy that thinks the Earth revolves around the sun. I mean...
Also, I'm not going to believe without proof that they were told this guy is a Holocaust denier and still signed the agreement.
I'm gonna quote from Sungenis. You can go on some websites of NASA and see that they've started to take stuff down that might hint to a geocentric universe, proving I was right.
Oh, God.
Yeah. GalileoWasWrong.com.
Wait. So he's saying that if you go to NASA and the fact that there's nothing there supporting geocentricism means that they took it down because he's right?
Yes. That is not easy for a gay man to say, by the way.
Yes. Basically, what Sungenis is saying is they have no evidence that geocentrism is wrong, therefore geocentrism is right, therefore I win.
No.
No, sorry, that doesn't work.
No.
Sungenis, no, sorry.
Oh, I'm going to quote some more Sungenis here. He was asked, what's the nature of stars? How, if they're many light years away, could they possibly make a circuit around a stationary Earth every 24 hours?
Because the Earth's moving, guy.
All right. Sungenis, this is from Raw Story. Sungenis emailed Raw Story back telling him he'd give them a statement which would clear up all questions. They're still waiting.
I say every geocentrist out there.
Can there really be that many? Really?
I think
it's this guy.
I mean, travel in the same circles, though. Well, really? Nothing for a pun like that? For an astrology pun, whatever. But I think if there are any
work for that shit, dude.
If there are any out there that are looking for something to bolster their argument, I think you should fund the building and operation of a rocket and take a fucking picture and then come back to Earth and show everybody the picture.
Oh, wait. NASA's done that several times.
Well, yeah, they
have.
Isn't
that kind of the point of NASA?
I mean, they have, but, you know, they should do exactly that to prove their point. If NASA did that and is wrong, you know.
They're also one of the producers on this, Bob Angelatoni. He has a great quote, no one has been able to prove that the Earth is moving.
Oh my God. God damn it. Why are there still people like this?
Alex, we get one of these out of him every episode.
Didn't we have an eclipse last night where the Earth was moving in between the sun and the moon?
Yeah.
Because the Earth was moving?
I mean, it did just happen last night, so maybe he hadn't heard of that yet.
Well, and then they're also defending the whole Krauss and Mulgrew and Kaku thing. He's just saying that they're too scared now and just trying to deal with the negative publicity, quoting, obviously she knew what the film was about. She read the script into a microphone. How could she not know? Kind of has a point there, unless you believe her side, that she was just reading a bunch of nonsense and they only used what they wanted.
He can't prove that either. If I'm going to use his own patois, he can't prove what he just said.
So I thought this was a funny story, both for the fact that Kate Mulgrew is unintentionally bringing a whole lot of publicity to this. Well, let's move from that then to, Alex, you run a website. What's that rinky-dink website you run?
Geekjuicemedia.com.
Well, when you run that website, you like to get comments, right?
I love comments.
Even bad comments, right?
Even bad comments, man. I'm
especially
always, like,
bad comments.
Telling people, please leave me comments. I love feedback, and I love the conversations that start in comment threads.
Internet commenters are the new tooth fairy, by the way.
Well, the Chicago Sun-Times disagrees with Alex. The Chicago Sun-Times and all Sun-Times media group papers and websites will cease to run comments with articles because... It's becoming these forums too often turn into a morass of negativity, racism, hate speech, and general trollish behaviors that detract from the content. So, no comments anymore.
Does Chicago Sun-Times think it's YouTube? Because those are YouTube comments they just described.
I actually wish YouTube would do what Chicago Sun-Times is doing right now.
Suspend comments?
If only for a day.
Not only have we heard your criticisms, we often find ourselves as frustrated as our readers are with the tone and quality of commentary on our pages.
That's very true. I can't argue with that.
But basically they're saying the real people who read our articles are sick of all the fucking trolls, so nobody gets to comment anymore. There.
I'm not even a troll, man.
Yeah, tell that to Morse.
Oh, well.
It is. And I'm not saying that should be the law. Like, I definitely don't think that's constitutional. I mean, for there to be the technology existing to allow people to communicate and then denying them that, they shouldn't do that. Of course, that's wrong. However, I'm just saying do that for a day, just so people can chill the fuck out for a little bit. Take a day to examine why it is that their comments just fucking ruin everything. I mean, because there are trolls out there, and they are shitty people.
Are you trying to imply that somehow, when every comment is calling you a pussy faggoty faggot, that somehow there's not an honest discourse going on, Charlie?
I'm saying there's part of an honest discourse happening, but they don't have the faculties for the second part that's necessary. I just think if you do that for a day, it's sort of like a bizarro version of The Purge.
I think
on YouTube and on Chicago Sun-Times, I think that would be good for all of us.
I think reading between the lines of this article is, we can't afford to hire somebody to moderate comments for us, so until we can hire somebody to do that, no comments, because we don't like moderating comments.
Fair enough.
We don't know if somebody is actually racist or if they're just a troll or what.
So
we
it is kind of self-serving.
Do about an F-word in the comments.
Yeah, it is kind of self-serving.
I just thought this was kind of a pussy move.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of a pussy throw your hands up in the air and go, you know what, I just can't deal with this anymore. I can't do this of the Chicago Sun-Times. I think it was a weak move, really.
That is a very weak move on their parts. Like, we can't deal with it.
And oddly hormonal, the way you described it, man.
Yeah, well, my version's probably more accurate.
I think it is.
So, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, I have a feeling Charlie and I are going to be beating on Jowski for a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tighten my life and fuck it up. Welcome to Heart Attack, folks. I am Hart D. Fisher, and right now I am as giddy as a little girl on a hot summer day. This news that we got, and Josh was the one who broke the news to me. I don't know how many people out there know, but I own and operate American Horrors, the world's greatest, especially now, the world's greatest 24 hours, completely uncut, 24 hours, 7 days a week horror channel that's free to watch worldwide. Fearnet was bought out by Comcast, the evil villain in this, Comcast. Fearnet was bought out, and they're being dissolved, and so I felt that Fearnet was my only true competition in horror, and now they're gone, so I can just focus 110% on making kick-ass horror for American Horrors and not have to worry about the slumbering corporate giant breathing down my neck.
And Comcast is really the villain in all this. No matter what you thought of Fearnet, the way that the Fearnet employees found out that they were losing their jobs was the news. The same article I sent you, when they saw that online, that's how they found out that their jobs were gone. That is a dick, impersonal, we own you completely kind of company shit. But Comcast, they'll be good for the customers if they merge with Time Warner, right?
Yeah, it's going to be really bad, you know? It's going to be really horrible for the customers of Time Warner. I mean, Time Warner is pretty bad as it is. I got to say, I'm a Time Warner customer, and they're pretty awful. And it's not the staff. It's the quality of their service. It sucks the dick. I've been celebrating, man. I've been so happy about this because, you know, there's been some issues with me and Fearnet, and their competition for some of the same shows I want to get for American Horrors. They're my competition. So I'm happy that there's a built-in audience that now is a vacuum going, man, I need my horror. And well, we've got it for you. We got it for you at all. And a couple people on Facebook and some of the people on Deadline Hollywood have been like, oh, how could you go on and celebrate 15 people got fired? Boo-hoo, boo-hoo, boo-hoo. Well, guess what, folks? I'm not celebrating somebody losing their job. That's not what this celebration is about. I mean, I didn't fire them. Comcast fired them, and they're fired whether I celebrate or not. It doesn't change a damn thing if I'm like, oh, boo-hoo. And it sucks for people losing their job. I worked for a company, the TVX Network, and this is what I was doing back in like 2001. 34 people lost their job on New Year's Day. You know, they fired everybody New Year's Day because George Bush got in office. This is going to be in a broadband adult channel. So they fired all the staff. I lost my job too, and that's, you know, So I understand what that's like, but I'm just so happy that these guys are gone because there isn't any other real competition for me. They're the only competition I felt that was out there because Chiller's no competition. Chiller's a garbage channel. It's terrible. I mean, I like Tales from the Dark Side, but do you really need to see 8 Tales from the Dark Side in a row?
Well, also the fact that technically they're not gone yet. It'll be dissolved over the course of the next year. So you still have to contend with Fearnet for another year or so.
Not really, because the thing about it is they were starting to amp up with more original production. They were starting to go after short horror. You know, people, the folks in horror are watching American Horrors. They're paying attention to our format. Our ratings are going up. Our viewership is up. Advertisers are starting to pay attention to us. Things are going very well. I've been getting a lot of good news this week, Josh. To let Heart Attack fans know, they've heard me fight for a long time about this Highland Park Transit Village that was an illegal development that was happening, one, on toxic land that had been toxic for years, two, it was going to be on land that was illegal for them to develop on anyway, and three, the City Hall, our good buddy Jose Huizar and his pals, were giving away fire code violations. That's right. They were allowing them to violate the city fire code. They were allowing them to violate height restrictions and other restrictions in the law that are there to protect families. And they were also allowing them to circumvent earthquake regulations. Well, guess what? It's shut down over these earthquake issues. It's
yeah,
done.
Didn't you guys just have an earthquake month and a half ago or so?
Yeah, we did. And so now all of a sudden the state of California said, you know what? We can't trust L.A. City Hall anymore. We can't trust them to just rubber stamp everything. So now we got to come out there and we got to inspect the site. So there's been some changes. And so there's a lot of developments I've been fighting that are now gone, done. So a lot of the opponents I've had in my life are finished. So I can relax. I can chill out a little bit and get more involved in other stuff, new stuff, you know what I mean? And to celebrate, last night I went out to the Ice House in Pasadena and caught Joe Rogan's show over there, his comedy show, and he was fucking hilarious.
Joe Rogan's 50-50 with me. I think sometimes he's hilarious, sometimes he just makes me groan.
He was a lot better live, and the good thing is, since he was in a smaller club, he could wing it and play with it more. You know, when you're a comedian and you're trying to deliver to an audience that's paid, let's say you're in a big room, you know, maybe people paid $50 a ticket, is a lot different than a bunch of people in a smaller room that paid $14 a ticket or $15 a ticket. You can take a little bit more chances with it, and he did. And I asked the question, and he fucking tore my ass up. He was, how often do you hear me tongue-tied, Josh?
Never.
No, I know, right? Never. It never happens. But this motherfucker was a force of nature on stage, and he turned me into a stuttering retard. It was fucking hilarious. And then his co-host on his podcast, Duncan Trussell, he was hilarious, too. He had a killer set, and he was really fucking funny. So I had a really great night. I've had a fantastic week, Josh. I have been smiling ear to ear. More good news is happening. We've got good news coming up on some streaming issues with our old American Horror shows. I'm just, dude, things are really turning around at American Horrors and Heart Attack. So I'm just giddy.
Well, and I can't say I've had the same week you've had, because I've had a really awful week. But I did find something that really did put a smile on my face. A punk band called Heil Hipster, which, by the way, is a fucking fantastic name. They actually made a song called 1201 Beyond.
Which shreds.
Yeah, it's a great song. I'm probably going to play it right after this.
It's fucking good.
I was completely knocked on my ass with that.
Well, that's the thing that we, you, Josh, probably forget, is how much a part of somebody's life you could be without even knowing it. I mean, that's been, like, for me, growing as a comic book creator and moving forward throughout my career, I've been doing this over 20 years. So as I've gone forward, you start to realize how you can become a part of a stranger's life. You become a character in a stranger's mythology, and they have their own idea of who you are and what you're about. And I've been meeting a lot of different fans and stuff that have coming out from my past. And I've met different famous people, different famous directors, and it blown me away when I found out that, oh yeah, they know my work big time. They've got, or like their girlfriend will tell me, you know, I meet Phil Anselmo and he's not telling me that he's got Poems for the Dead. His girlfriend tells me, and she's got all my books, and she's telling me, oh yeah, Phil's had Poems for the Dead for a long time. And I'm like, holy shit. It's one of those things where you make more of a penetration into the culture than you even are aware of. And the rest of that record's good, dude. I went and I listened to the whole album.
I did, too. I listened to all the songs. You guys need to check out Heil Hipster. Google them. I like them a lot. They have a very garage punk kind of a fuck everything attitude.
1, 2, 3, 4!
Yeah.
It was really good.
Honestly?
Really good.
They reminded me a lot of the Misfits. Stylistically. Stylistically, both the Glenn and Michael Graves era, they gave a Misfits vibe to me.
You know, I gotta admit, I've never ever really listened to the Michael Graves Misfits. I've never heard any of that stuff. Is it any good?
I thought he was quite a good replacement, actually. I mean, when they revived in the 90s, I thought Michael Graves did a really solid job, because he had Glenn's style without trying to emulate Glenn.
Right, because it, you know,
so it still sounded like the Misfits. It just sounded like a different kind of Misfits, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I was going to talk on this episode all about how there's new come to light, how police, you know, law enforcement is abusing their ability to access this metadata that's being collected on us. You know, stuff like, oh, I don't know, in 2010, Michigan police sought information about every single phone located near the site of a planned labor protest without a warrant, or about a Tennessee sheriff who requested the location of his daughter when she was out past her curfew, or a police chief in South Carolina who obtained 4 tower dumps, providing information about every cell phone within the range of 2 separate cell towers after his personal vehicle was burglarized. All these things without a warrant, all these things against the law. And also, it just came out that in Minnesota, a state audit of their driver license data has found that over 5,500 police officers have abused their ability to access this information, including one gentleman who's going to jail for it because he was searching and stalking women, right? Like 19,000 queries to the database over a course of 5 years. You get what I'm saying?
That's stalking, isn't it?
it is stalking, and it's something that they're finding is happening on a regular basis. Think about that. There's only 11,000 law enforcement users in Minnesota. So they're saying more than half. That's more than 5,500. That's a big number, man. That's just one state of the driver's license data. Then you get into the NSA.
Abuse.
Yeah. Then you get into the NSA surveillance program. And the thing is, they can find out everything about you. And even if the NSA doesn't want to use this data on you, guess what? There's a ton of agencies that are interested in it. Like the IRS is interested in tracking people before, so they can check them. You know, they could check their purchases on their credit cards with what their IRS tax forms are telling them about their about what kind of money they make. So these are the kinds of things I didn't really talk about today, because I'm just too fucking happy about this really good news. I mean, one of the best things is I've been flying blind with American Horrors for a long time. I'm new to broadcast. I'm new to the TV industry. So I've been talking with a lot of experts in the field. And Josh knows we've been putting numbers together on Heart Attack and the other shows at Jackalope. And man, they're telling me we're doing really good. We've got really good numbers. We've got a really good viewership. They're very impressed. And I'm just like fucking giddy. So if you want to come bring me down off my high horse and take me off my cloud, you can find me on Facebook. Find me on Facebook. Facebook.com/Hot Attack Radio or Hot_Fisher on Twitter.
This week, something happened again, which we should have not been surprised about. Senate Republicans blocked the Democratic Paycheck Fairness Act again for the third year in a row. Basically, what this act would have done was said that you have to pay a woman the same as what you pay a man for the same work. Now, the Republicans didn't even block this for any real reason. Minority Leader Mitch McConnell argued, and I'm going to say it like Mitch McConnell would, the bill has nothing to do with women. The Democrats are simply making show votes for their powerful pals on the left. Basically what he's saying is, this was just to try and appease their George Soros masters, so we're going to block this just basically out of principle. And then they actually tried to come out and say, and that's why we are fighting for women. Because somehow you being paid less makes us on the side of women's rights.
I was trying to wonder, why would anybody block a bill for paycheck fairness? Because, yeah, hell, I still have trouble believing wage disparity exists, because it's common sense that women should get paid the same as men. And the fact that we need
legally
a law...
But legally, if you don't have to... A business is not going to. If they can save money by hiring Jane instead of John, they're going to do that because they don't have to pay Jane as much legally.
Yeah, and the fact that we need a law to ensure that women get paid the same as men is pretty stupid in the first place.
Well, but then we don't have a law because the Republicans keep blocking it.
Yeah, and I'm sure this is just the whole bipartisan fighting thing, because the Democrats will block any bill the Republicans have simply because we hate Republicans. It could be the greatest law that has ever existed, but if the Republicans are doing it, the Democrats will knock it down. If the Democrats are suggesting it, the Republicans will put it down. That I don't think they actually care about making laws anymore. They just care about screwing each other over regardless of what bill somebody brings to the floor. It's just like, nope, you're a Democrat, or nope, you're a Republican. It's just bipartisan fighting.
Yeah, it's a lot like masturbating in a library and not caring that it's preventing anyone else from reading. Like, I don't know how this library would have to be laid out, like architecturally speaking, but if one guy who just didn't care about anybody was jerking off and he didn't care that it was preventing anyone from getting books, that's what's really happening with the bipartisan Congress.
Charlie, I forgot to ask you, so do you go to court for that next month?
It's a little closer than that. I'm actually getting a little bit nervous about that, but I've got a plan. It'll be fine.
Now, see, I do want to put this out there. Now, this whole women earn 88 cents on the dollar thing is technically not right, because it's actually a little less it's a little less uneven than you would think. That's what they're saying is technically right, but it's also technically wrong. They're and yes, I'm kind of defending Republicans here. They are kind of using that as like a buzz phrase. What it actually means is, because women on average work 5 fewer hours in a week than men do, so that's where some of that 77% comes from. On the other hand, if you take actual numbers of hours worked and set them side by side, it's actually closer to about 88 to 90% of what a man makes. So it's still uneven, but not as uneven as a lot of the news is trying to portray it. I want to be completely fair with the facts in that matter.
There's the race factor that plays into it as well, because black women are going to be paid less than white women.
Right. It's actually staggered in a pretty ridiculous way, in all honesty. Mitch McConnell came out saying that the Republicans are fighting for women's rights by blocking this. He actually said on camera, we should not need a law for this because any honest business will pay the same. Isn't that kind of looking at the house burning and go, well, your heating bill is going to be lower, right?
That's like saying we don't need a law to make murder illegal because honest people aren't going to commit that kind of crime anyway.
Right.
Fucking stupid.
The balls to say we're fighting for women.
Yeah, I still don't know how they're defending that one. I mean, to say this shouldn't be a law because it's something that people should do anyway, so we're not going to have it be a law. I mean, that's just stupid in itself. But how are they spinning that towards doing this for women?
It makes you work harder, maybe?
Oh, my God. That's ridiculous. Okay, first of all, we should note that this applies only to salaried positions of employment. People that make an hourly wage, this does not apply. When you work a job with an hourly wage, they give you documented proof what you're being paid, and everybody is being paid the same. But it's limited to salaried positions.
There's also a major hypocritical angle from this, from the White House. The White House currently pays female staffers 88% of what their male staffers get paid. So here's the White House and the Democrats going, no, 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 we need this law. Well, at the same time, they're not abiding by the rules had this become a law. We got to point out the hypocrisy of that, don't we?
You know what? This is why we needed a monarchy. We just need a king or an emperor, just one guy that rules the whole country and makes up whatever wacky laws he wants, and we all just hate the one guy. I mean, all these representatives and senators that are all just fucking stupid. I mean, we could just do this with one guy. We don't need to be paying all these people do these stupid things.
Okay, Charlie, since Alex is not taking this seriously, you?
No, that was a serious statement. I'm being serious.
I knew it was a serious statement. I've heard serious Chowski before. That was definitely serious. We're just taking this as seriously as we can really, just because of how fucking stupid it is on his face. I mean, to say something should not be a law because it's something that people should do anyway. I mean, when someone says, yeah, but since this is the real world, do you want to just go ahead and make it a law anyway? Considering that we're all lawmakers, that's what our job is. And then for the Republican Party to say, no, in fact, we don't want it to be a law because we want people to choose to do it with a straight goddamn face. And to say they're doing that for the betterment of women, I don't know how seriously you expect us to take this, man.
How about this? Republican Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn, one of the people who helped block this, argues that women don't want equal pay laws.
Oh, yeah.
They don't, do they?
Nope. I'm gonna quote her, so she can do this herself. I think that more important than that is making certain that women are recognized by both by those companies. You know, I've always said that I don't want to be given a job because I was female. I wanted it because I am the most well-qualified person for the job. And making certain that companies are going to move forward in that vein is what women want. They don't want the decisions made in Washington. They want to be able to have the power and control and ability to make those decisions for themselves. Unquote. What she's saying is, I want equal pay because I deserve it, not because Washington told you you had to.
Yeah.
Nah, that, no.
I quoted that. That, I didn't make any of that up.
I'm not blaming, I'm saying no to that crazy lady.
Marsha Blackburn. Your thoughts on that, Charlie?
That's just kind of painful to hear. I mean, if I...
Charlie, is this not one step away from saying, well, if black people didn't want to be called niggers, they should just stop being so black, right?
That is just one short step away, like an almost accidental step, like a dizzy spell step. That's how close this is to that.
If gay people wanted to get married, they should just get married to the opposite sex, right?
Because then it'd be legal.
I mean, Alex, you as a gay guy, are we that far off from the jokes we were just making?
No, that's pretty accurate.
This is just ridiculous. I mean, these are lawmakers. People whose job it is, who were elected by everybody who lives in the same state as them to make laws to help society. And these are lawmakers who are saying, well, this should just be part of decency, so we're not going to make a law about that because we agree with it so much.
You should be doing it anyway, son of a bitch.
Exactly. We agree with it so much that we are going to spend months not doing this exorbitantly high-paying job that you guys elected us to do. We're not going to do that in this case because we agree with you so goddamn much. That's how seriously I can take this, Josh.
All right, let's go from that to Ben Stein. Now, I'm poor. Alex is poor. Charlie is poor. All of us are quite poor. I'm on the verge of losing my house. I know Charlie's not much better. Alex basically is eating dog food.
No, I'm not that poor.
Okay, fine. High-end cat food.
50% of the nation is below the poverty line, so...
Well, what are you feasting on, Josh? And is it fancy? Didn't think so.
McDonald's dollar menu for lunch.
Well, then, yeah, dog food would have been a step up for you.
Yeah.
So, Ben Stein was on... Oh, guess what? O'Reilly on Fox News. Imagine that. What will make the genuinely poor stop sabotaging themselves? Maybe... Just maybe, if we let God back into the public forum, it would help. I have seen spiritual solutions work miracles. What he is saying is God is the reason, because you've thrown God out of the schools, that's why you're poor. And then he also said that those who bitch about the rich are just jealous of millionaires because, quote, they fund symphonies and ballets and schools for inner city kids. They are a bulwark against tyranny because they can afford lawyers to fight overweening government. The wealthy are actually good for democracy. We want there to be a high number of rich people who function as a brake on government, just as the nobles did on the crown a long time ago in England.
Ben Stein's for a monarchy too, it seems. I should be on his side.
This is so full of bullshit. That just like the Juggalo coin, I thought it was satire at first. It's not.
This does seem more like satire, even than more so than the Juggalo coin thing. This, I'm not sure what to make. It really just fucking feels like satire because Ben Stein is sort of a comedic actor. He's been featured mostly just to, you know, as a live action cartoon, pretty much just to fill the exact same role in a bunch of different movies. Don't know if you can call that acting, but this doesn't seem like something he would say.
Well, actually, he had a religious conversion a few years ago, remember, and he went full on religious nut.
Okay, so Gon is the Ben Stein that had his own game show on Comedy Central.
The kind of guy that's fighting to get that he made an entire documentary about how when religion is taught in place of evolution, children are smarter and happier. It's about as balanced as the Principal documentary. So he's full blown Bill O'Reilly, Glenn Beck, Michael Savage religious nut.
Actually, I read this article like 3 times after you sent it and had no idea what the fucking point of it was.
The point was, poor people are poor because we keep giving them handouts, so they don't want to work because we keep giving them handouts, so we need to teach them about religion, therefore they'll find who they truly are and then want to get a job and work for those billionaires that are so good to them and totally help society.
Okay, I'll agree to the point that handouts have had a detrimental effect on our economy, but I don't think the solution to that is God, and I don't understand why Ben Stein would think that, oh, you know, if they just turn to God, they'll suddenly be happy in their poverty. No. For years, I thought this guy was a comedian.
I think he thought so, too.
And whenever it says Ben Stein economist on something, I thought that was part of the joke because you're...
I always thought, see that, actually.
Like, what the hell's an economist? Does he make Oh, it's a joke. But apparently he actually is an economist. And about hating the billionaires because, oh, we just jelly. No, see... There's certain billionaires I hate, not because they have money, but because they're assholes. And yes, wealth is good for this country when it's in the right hands and not the fucking people that have it now.
Well, I'm going to quote Ben Stein again. My humble observation is that most long-term poverty is caused by self-sabotage by individuals. Drug use, drunkenness, having children without a family structure, gambling, poor work habits, disastrously unfortunate appearance, above all and counted in the preceding list, psychological problems, which very much including basic laziness, cause people to be unemployed, have poor or no work habits, and enter and stay in poverty, unquote. Or should I have read it like, my humble opinion?
I it's okay if you don't.
So, yeah, right there he is saying, you people are poor because you're poor, so that's why you use drugs and you get drunk and you have children outside of marriage and you gamble and you have poor work habits. The one I loved, disastrously unfortunate appearance. Basically,
yeah.
You're all They're fucking ugly. You're all ugly. That's why you can't get jobs.
Disastrously.
Disastrously unfortunate.
Disastrously unfortunate appearance.
I have known poor people that fit some of the things he says, that people that are in poverty because of drug use or gambling.
I know rich people that fit all of those, too.
Yeah, so do I.
But the amount of people I know that are poor and choose to stay poor because of their disastrously unfortunate appearance is quite small.
Jowski's right. I think those qualities that Ben Stein just listed, a lot of which he is guilty of, by the way, because he has a disastrously unfortunate appearance.
Not to mention disastrously unfortunate speech patterns.
Yeah, he does. He gets by on the skin of his teeth. And plus, a fucking economist is saying this. How the fuck do you get a job title of economist if this is the kind of bullshit you come up with? So, okay, our economy would be fine if all the weird-looking different people would just get their shit together.
If all you ugly junkies would, be awesome. Would just stop being ugly junkies.
Right? Everything would be fine. I got paid to come up with this!
Well, apparently, economist is not a real job. It's like philosopher. It's like...
freelance poet. Charlie, you know how many times we've talked about how the Republicans, specifically, use the 1950s as this perfect time in America that we must return to, you know, unless you were black, gay, Jewish, non-Christian, whatever, right?
Mayor Goldie Wilson.
Well, Stein also argued that the definition of real poverty has been diluted since the early 1950s, when cars and air conditioning were considered luxuries.
What? Are you fucking serious?
Yes, I am.
What the fuck is happening with this? God damn it. Who the fuck are these people and why did they go into politics?
He didn't go into politics. He's Ben Stein.
Well, he's an ultra-right-wing conservative religious nut. That's essentially,
That's essentially
a card-carrying member of the Republican Party.
Okay.
On the ultra. This guy does not speak for the Republican Party. This guy speaks for people that are so beyond the right wing. They're like over in their own little la-la land, and it's just Ben Stein and his economist job title.
Yes, they're able to Tea Party themselves.
Yeah, they're past that.
I think it's just irresponsible whoever let him say that on TV. That's all I got for that. It's stupid, retarded, and should not be taken seriously at all.
I just love when I'm able to quote them. There's no context that can make the quote work.
Yeah, looking for one like this. It, to be fair and balanced is hard, right?
Well, especially when you're Fox News and you not care about neither fair nor balance, but fine.
Yeah, when you have so little to work with.
Poor people have dragged down society with their slovenly habits. Yes, their slovenly habits, like sleeping on the street, because the politicians that caused the housing market to crash made this poor guy lose his home. That's slovenly.
Or the fact that, you know, those poor people spend their slovenly habits watching Fox News and then giving money to their advertisers. You know, cash for gold, Charlie.
I think it's the disastrously unfortunate-looking lawmakers and economists who have fucked everything up since, like, I would say 2001. Well, it's just been a huge downward spiral from there.
Well, you do also realize that when they say poor people, that's actually code for non-white people.
Yeah, it's like saying urban instead of saying black.
Oh well, Ben Stein's fucking crazy. That's what I got to say about that.
Ben Stein is fucking crazy.
I think Bill O'Reilly is too for giving him a forum.
We knew that.
And yeah, but just because you give somebody a forum doesn't mean you know that they're gonna go on there and be wacky.
Didn't Ben Stein go bankrupt a couple of years ago? Is that what you really want out of an economist?
He's done less for homeless people than Alex Chowski. Who among you is willing to go that far for the homeless, huh?
That's an in-joke. That's an in-joke you gotta go to Geek Juice Radio to get.
Happy hunting to you.
Alex, you mentioned this rinky-dink website you worked at before. What is it again?
GeekJuiceMedia.com.
McMullen, some of your work is there too, right?
Most of my work is over there. You can see me over there, Facebook, Twitter, at Charlie McMullen, that sort of shit.
And I think we have all of Josh Hadley's what crap stuff over there.
Yeah.
Not all, but most. Yes,
we've got some top-notch crap over there.
I'm at geekjuicemedia.com as well, and all of my crap is at 1201beyond.com. You can contact the show at 1201beyond@gmail.com. Have a good night, guys.
Something's gotta go! You take from me, all that is pure, a lesson I have learned. That's your chance to turn and walk on bridges that you burn. Too much shit, can't get ahead, something's gotta go! I don't know, friend or foe, something's gotta go! Something's gotta go! Go! Something's gotta go! Something's gotta go!
again!
What the fuck is a 1201 Beyond production? Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.